You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
It's the Resistance! This is as optimistic as I hope. My voice is still ruined from LVO. Anyways, hello everyone. Welcome to, I guess, a B-team / Scumbilly podcast. I'm here myself, Kaelin Wong, and with us is Scruffy Blair. How are you doing?
I'm recovering. I'm on my way, on the road to recovery. Is your voice wrecked because of all the smoke in the air and the... In the venue hall, or just from like yelling, it's the Resistance.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I would say it's mostly the smoke. Smoke, drier climate, and just like all the things. But yeah,
I just felt like my nose was like stuffed up the whole time.
And yes, it's for those of you. So, for those who remember, the LVO was this last weekend, and it was held, of course, the Las Vegas Open. It was held at the Bally's Casino and Hotel on the Las Vegas Strip. And one thing of Las Vegas, if you haven't been there, is inside the casino, you're allowed to smoke. But to get anywhere inside these hotels is you have to go through the casino, and it carries everywhere. And it's just, these are our older hotels and buildings, like, I'm not sure how old Bally's is, but I think it's over 30 years. So there's like 30 years of smoke in the air, just baked into everything. So you smell like smoke. The air smells like smoke. It's like salt, right? The walls are smoke. The ceiling is smoke. The floor is smoke. And the air is smoke. You can breathe it and you taste the smoke.
You're constantly tasting the smoke. That's good.
So, but other than that, I think we might, if we're lucky, we might have a couple others join us later on, but it's just the two of us for now. So, Blair, how was your run at LVO?
I just want to say BCP owes me 90 minutes of my life back.
In the big picture, I think they have a lot more to worry about from those poor 40K guys.
Yeah, so for sure.
We'll talk more about, I guess, BCP later, but Let's talk about the event. So, Blair, do you want to go through what your list you brought, or should we talk about how it was ran?
Oh, we can talk about how it was ran first, the venue. So, the Myox,
the Fly Better Squadron.
The Fly Better Squadron. They picked it because it was relatively the same time as the Monarch Open last year, and they figured Vegas would be a good place to have it because people could fly and stay for cheap, and the LVO was happening at roughly the same time, so they figured, why not? Is that basically the gist of it?
I want to say, I believe it's also putting in such a large event allowed FFG to step in as well and make it actually a grand championship.
Yeah.
So this is an official grand championship and held at the event. And like, for those, like, so I've been to one or two of the first LVOs back when I was playing 40K. I know it's quite large, but the perspective of how much it grew. The original hall, that like one of the first LVOs in, had everyone in it. It had about 250, 300, 40K players. It actually wasn't an official event. It was just like a little side thing. It was like one day $20 or like $10, 20-piece and thing. But it was mostly War Machine and 40K at the time. And now, like, I didn't go for the last like couple years. So the original event hall that held the entire LVO was just for 40K. There were 800 players sitting playing 40K in one room. There was the Grand Championship for us. There was the Age of Sigmar one as well. I believe probably close to the same numbers that we had. There was War Machine, Armada, Legion. So it was an enormous event. Like, it was quite spectacular to see how many people were there.
Yeah. They got about a dozen turnout for Bolt Action.
Yeah, that was quite nice. They even had a Destiny. They had Destiny.
Yeah, Destiny.
Yep. It was playing. People are buying up the new set, regardless of Destiny being complete in quotations. Yeah, it was pretty interesting to see. I was quite surprised to see how much it grown. Like, I knew it was going to, it was bigger, but I was not expecting the scale of it since comparison to last time. And they did do some great improvements since the very first time. So the very first time they went, there was no water service. Like, you had to buy bottled water from the concession and be in Las Vegas and a hotel. They just ripped you off. But actually having access to, like, water coolers in the corners and stuff like that, it was really nice to actually just be able to drink water in Vegas.
That was my company, Kalen.
No, really? Thanks for supplying us with water, Blair.
Oh, it wasn't me. I didn't pay for it.
I know.
That water, do you know that water?
We work for them, so it's you, Blair.
Do you know that water was also fluoridated?
Oh, really?
Yeah. You were drinking that shit all weekend, man.
Well, that's fine. I was drinking tap water, so I drank fucking a liter of chlorine while I was there, too.
Pretty much. Yeah, I don't know. Vegas, it's not really my jam, but I guess it's okay to do every couple of years.
So Las Vegas is probably a nice city outside the Strip, but the Strip is gross. To anyone that goes there, unless you're like really into those kind of things, I don't like it. It is a gross place to be. It feels dirty, not just because of like the scantily-clad women. And like the drunken hobos and the homeless people. You know, it just feels dirty due to like all the smoke in the air. It just feels like something about it. It just feels walking around. It's just like you get all sweaty because it's usually hot. There's a lot of people. So it takes forever to get anywhere. So
yeah, it sure does.
But like as a venue, this is like one of the few places where you have space. So LVO is a good place to run like these massive events. Like nowhere else could you host something like this and be like, you look at it reasonably. Like the entry weekend pass was what, like 50 to 70 US, and our entry to like X-Wing was maybe like 25, 30. So like all in, like the X-Wing players paid maybe 100, which just seems like a lot. But in like the big picture for an event like this, that's quite reasonable if you compare it to something like trying to shove it in like a Comic-Con or something like that.
Well, the other thing too is this is like, even though like the food is kind of pricey, like you can't beat the flight and the hotels.
Well, like, the flight and hotels, if you search a bit, there's actually, you can get quite reasonable for food. You're still looking to pay 12 or like $10 to $15 a person, but like you can go cheap if you look for the places. Mm-hmm. And like there's some of the best restaurants are in Las Vegas if you also look for that. Or you go the cheaper route, of course, is just you find the In-N-Out. There is one on the Strip. I just go there every single time. Or you just eat Subway. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some Savage. Like, if you're in Vegas, you should probably spend a little bit and try some food and stuff like that. There's a lot of good places. There's also a lot of terrible places that rip you off. It is hard to find a coffee in the morning that's not a $7 Starbucks coffee. Because it's Starbucks, plus then the Las Vegas fee, plus the tourist fee on top of it.
Yeah.
But other than that, all the Fly Better Squadron guys ran it, and they did, I think, overall did a pretty good job trying to set it up. If you ignore the issues they had with BCP overall, the event started relatively on time. I think it was a little bit late, but I think it was due to the fact that they wanted to start checking around like 7 a.m. to 8:30, but the venue wasn't actually anyone allowed in until 8 o'clock. Only the vendors were allowed to set up. So,
and then a lot of people had to like wait in line to get their registration badge. So
yeah, the registration badge, who didn't come in the day before to get their badge to enter the event. So yeah, there was a big line. But like, I think we still start, like we only dialed down at 9. I think we started at 9:30 or maybe closer to 10, but it wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then until BCP was running until the end of round two, and it was doing fine. It was just at that point where it crapped out. But overall, like, yeah, for the most part, the team was pretty good. It was quite responsive. They went down, like, the area we had that was relatively small, and it was just a big, long column. It was two rows of tables going from the center of the room all the way to the end. So they didn't have to cover that much ground, so it was pretty good. Space around the tables, I think, was a bit small, but because the mats were touching.
Yeah, but, like, it was a little tight.
It was a little tight, but nothing, I guess, we're not used to in comparison to when we did Worlds back in the FG Game Center.
It's pretty similar to Worlds back then.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think it could be improved, but I think it's like there's so many games going on here. It's like, so, like, looking at it, like, the 40K tables are the exact same, touching side by side, and with their 6x4s, so they had even less space than we did, because at least we had the 6 inches on each side to put some cards and stuff like that. And there was extra table, extra chairs and stuff like that. So it didn't feel too crowded because there was a lot of room between the tables, or the rows of tables. So there was room to sit, not bumping into people. So it felt pretty good that way.
Yeah. For having it crash in the middle, I felt like they recovered pretty quickly. Shout out to Jonas for helping them get that back up and running pretty fast. I'm sure they did a buttload of work, Ryan and Dee and everyone else who chipped in. So it was pretty disappointing, the prize support from FFG. Like, the prizes that Ryan was able to scrounge together for the side event made, like, the side event prizes. It had more prize support than the main event.
Yeah, what they got for the side event was amazing. Like, what they pulled through for. But, like, we all knew the Grand Championship prizes were lame. The FFG already knows. They knew their mistakes. Like, this was the last Grand Championship, I believe, of this circuit. So all the ones coming up would be very different. I think it's like, it feels like it was just an incomplete package. They knew that they wanted to do the faction pricing, but they forgot about regular pricing on top of it, other than the cut, so... But they've got that feedback. There's nothing new that no one's heard about, so, which is unfortunate. But at least shout out to Matt Holland to go, and he was there as a representative of FFG just to see the event, because this is like the first time their FFG has like participated with LVO. He managed to scrounge up at least that the top 16 in faction cards were doubled, so they could do top 16 in faction per day, because the original package was just top 16 overall. So they would have been split top 16 would be top 8 per day, the top 4 is top 2 per day, and the top 2 was the top player per day. So it was really stingy feeling. But they're not able to get those cards out, so at least they got some more cards out on the field.
Yeah.
So to make do with what we got, so.
Yeah, so...
So Blair, what did you fly? Because you talked about it already, but
so yeah, I've been pretty out, but I definitely went over points when that was announced, and obviously, if you're gonna drop Z95s, that's gonna be something that I'm gonna jump on. So I initially looked at that, and then. Obviously, you can't ignore the Sieg's getting dropped 3 points. So I figured, okay, let's try some of that. And then I looked and saw that it was only 3 points. You had to pay no cost to add a cannon onto the spacer other than just the base cost of the cannon. So I ultimately settled on 3 binary pirates, 3 cartel spacers with 2 tractor beams, a Zealth recruit, and an autopilot drone. I kind of got to a weird point break where I wasn't sure if I wanted to go with additional upgrades. So I eventually just said, screw it. I'll just fly an autopilot drone and see how that goes. And
so how did that autopilot drone turn out for you?
You don't watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia, do you, Caitlin?
Sorry?
Do you watch? You probably don't watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia, do you? It doesn't seem like your kind of show.
No, I don't.
Okay, I'm sure some of our listeners know that Charlie Day wild card reference. That was basically how I felt about the autopilot drone. It was my wild card. After the break, 2 games in, it had. Let's see. The first game, it did 0 damage. I got 1 coordinate out of it. The second game. I got the same thing. So 2 games in, for 24 points spent, I had gotten 2 coordinates. Like the second game, I was playing 5 A-Wings, and I just knew, like, it wasn't even close. So I just, like, gave up before the final turn, just peeled them off to give my guys some room to not take damage. But Then after that, I felt like he kind of started to turn around, and I think if you watch my game against David Kelly on the stream, you kind of see his value there. Even though he again did like no damage and actually did one to myself, the positioning, I basically was able to force his two aces into a corner where my Swarm was just able to completely converge on him. I felt like he was the MVP of that game. And, you know, you were telling me, like, you didn't think it was a good idea, Kaylin. I was bringing up the fact that, like, anytime you bring something that, like, no one practices against, like, that can be, like, an ace in the hole for you. Like, after the game, Dave, he's a super experienced player, you know. He won Nova, got top 16 in Worlds. He was like, I should have just flew Vader right at the outside road and taken the one damage.
They won't make that mistake again. It's one of those things. The first time is going to excuse you. The second time after, you should probably figure it out.
Yep. So it was fun. After the seven games I played, God, I don't know if I'd do it again or not, because we were looking at hyperspace, and I think so for hyperspace. A better list would probably just be you go with five spacers, four of them with tractor beam, and then you just change the Z95 over to the mining guild tie and just roll a seven. I don't know whether that would have been better or not, because the autopilot, he's just so hit and miss in your matchups. It's really hard to gauge his value, but I also felt after that tournament that I started to feel about tracers when you had ordnance in 1.0 is that two is just not enough. You ideally want three or four.
And that tractor beams.
That really hurt me in my final game. So, I don't really know. Both those squads, I think, are pretty damn good, but I don't know if I would do it all over again if I go with the same or not. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, what up, guys? How we doing?
We're doing pretty good.
It's been like 36 hours since I've seen you.
It's not been that long. We're all slowly recovering. My voice is partially destroyed, but...
Same. I couldn't talk yesterday. It was great.
Yeah. Now, was it because of yelling or the smoke?
Both. I would guess. I mean, just a whole Vegas experience. Like, I've taken three showers in the last, like, 24 hours, and I still feel a little grimy. And, like, we didn't go to strip clubs or anything. That's just being in Vegas.
Yeah, we told the description. That's a great add-on to what I told earlier. It's just, Vegas feels gross.
It does.
So not Las Vegas. Las Vegas City is probably pretty good. The strip feels gross.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I didn't. So you guys, Blair left Sunday afternoon. Kaylin, when did you leave?
Early Monday morning.
Yeah, same. So Nick and I went and played Coup with like Chris Allen and Dee and Wade, like down in the hotel lobby for a couple hours until about like 2 in the morning. And then they went and gambled some more at a giant like spinny wheel arcade game thingy. And then I found a very tired Matt and Kate, and they had decided to sleep, which I feel was the wrong decision. And so then about like 3:15 ish in the morning, we went to the airport, and then I flew out at 4:30.
Ugh.
Yep.
I got some sleep. I think after we had dinner, I was like, go. So I got to sleep at least from about 12 to 4, so about 4 hours.
Oh yeah. No.
Yeah, it was something at least. And
I feel comfortable in my just screw it. It doesn't matter. I had 5 hours total sleep, I think, in the 48 that was like Saturday morning to Monday afternoon.
It was rough.
Yes.
Anyways, we just went over what Blair flew. I mean, it was run. Tyler, what did you fly?
I went back to Empire and was flying the Gen Con list that I had before. So it's Vader, Soontar, and three Academies. The list went down in price because the academies got cheaper. So I picked up 3 points, and that gave me passive sensors on Vader, which was pretty good. I kind of want to run like a 7 or an 8 round tournament with targeting Buter on Fel and see which one I like better. But
yeah, that sounds fair. It's a pretty solid choice both either way.
Yeah, yeah. There was just games where Vader died early and I had Fel till the end of the game, and having that target lock focus ability would have been really good. But there were other like other games where Vader blocked two different enemy Vaders and then passive sensors rolled off of them to shoot them. So
nice.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know which one's the right answer. But no, it worked well. I was 4-1 or 4-2 on the first day. Barely made it. It was like the 32nd person by 5 MOV to make the cut. And then hit a CIS swarm in the first round. And I've literally never beat a full like seven ship or greater CIS swarm. I have never beat them in tournament play since I've been in the game. So
yeah, it is a very strong list still. Was it a Seer version or was it one?
No, it was a Watt and 6 Separatist drones, and I had 2 Discord missiles. So they're all I3s. So they literally murdered my TIE fighters before they got to shoot. Like, I lost 2 TIE fighters, and the other one went to 1 hit point on the opening round of fire. Like, okay.
Oh, that's pretty
awful. Yep. The interesting thing, though, is passive sensors makes Vader immune to Discord missiles, which is pretty cool. And I did bait one of them out, and he was going to shoot both. He just didn't think the other one would land. Like, it wouldn't have range.
He just touches you, and then you just barrel off in the action.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yep.
That's still pretty good.
Yep.
So you got top 64, sadly. But you made the cut.
Yep. Made the cut, then and then promptly lost in round one.
Well, yeah. Blair, I think that's also the story of your life.
Story of my life.
Yeah, well, story of life for that tournament. Not really round one, but like the story of 1 year event.
Yeah. Well, and Nick too, from that was also in our room. Nick was the only one that didn't. It was Paul. Paul was top 64.
And then Nick made
top 16. Yeah. Top 16 or top 8?
I think he made top 8. I think.
I don't recall which one.
He at least made top 16.
Yeah, he did really well. I was really happy with that.
So, yeah, I went 5-1. My one loss was to Joe Congdon, Sakuta Joe, one of our Patreons. It was the 5 A-Wings. And, of course, he had a 1-point bid, so his 2 recruits got to move after my entire list, so it felt like playing 5 Sunter Fells. But he played well. He got it. And then I got matched up in top 64 with Daryl McMillan, who has just been around like longer than me, I think. He's a longtime veteran of the game. And he had like a 4-ship rebel list. And my opening was, it wasn't the best, it wasn't the worst. I had like 2, like 1 Z and 1, I think 2 Zs were out of range. He got all his shots on one of my Sikhs. And it was about a 50-50 whether he lived or died. And he lived at 1. But then I had a tractor beam shot back into his B-wing that was like 75% to hit. And it missed. And X-Wing is just such an interesting game because, like, you think about one attack missing, it's not a big deal. But, like, if that had hit, the B-wing would have been tractored forward into range 2, two of my ships. The 2 that were out of range could have shot it. Everyone had focus. He was taking like 10.4 damage on average, what I think I looked up. Instead, since it missed, I had to just take a couple of crappy shots at Hef, and I ended up doing like 2 or 3 damage. So that one shot missing ended up being like a 7 hit point swing, basically. And then my other tractor seek was like just like a millimeter 2 out of range of the B-wing. So that really sucked. And then from there, it was still a close game, but he didn't make any mistakes. And I got wedged down to like 4, but I couldn't get the 3rd damage on to half him. And he ended up winning with like 20 MOV. So that was it. There was a pretty funny moment at the end of the day. So when they converted over to the cryo decks from BCP, I think D or whoever was putting my Naaman just put me in as Rebel by default. So when they were posting the final rankings, it said I was 8th overall, the number one Rebel player. So when Ryan Farmer says, when you come up to get your faction prize, just say your name and your faction. So I go up there, I say, Blair Bunky, Rebel. And they're like, nah, you're not Rebel, you're a scum. So I was 8th overall. I was 3rd for scum. Like, 2nd and 5th were 1st and 2nd. 1st for Rebel was like 18th, and 2nd was 35th. So after they do that, Jeremy Greenfield, who was the 2nd in Rebels, comes up to me and says, hey, Blair, thanks for flying Rebels.
Or flies really scum because he got nothing.
The one time I fly, I would have been rewarded for flying Rebels, I fly scum. Like, god dang it. So
that was, you wouldn't have those Seeks with tractor beams or that autopilot drone.
It's true. I wouldn't have had all that sweet, sweet scum shenanigans.
You could have Zeds, though.
I could have the Zeds.
Yeah. Well, I guess my list was just my world's list myself. I had 3 porn points to spend, so I took out the crack shots and gave Finn hull upgrade, which was the wrongest choice. It turned out Finn with an extra hull did not do anything extra, because he either died by overkill or never took damage. So I need to figure out what to do with 5 points. But I started off with pretty poor. Got some poor matchups to start. So I started off 0-2. 1-1, but I was down in the salt mines playing against stuff you would not normally see. And they got this, I think, total, I got 3, maybe 4 bad matchups all day, which are probably my 4 losses. I think I could have maybe sneaked one of them out, but it was doing pretty poorly for me. So, but once I got the 3rd loss, I had no pressure. I knew those, for my, on my day, there's only resistance players, so I knew I just had to play my games to get the top 16 card. That's pretty much what I did. I got to scream "It's the Resistance" 6 times, which was pretty fun. I think everyone enjoyed that.
You, when you were way down in the salt mines in round 4, I could still hear you yell it when I was on stream on your side.
Oh yeah, we all yelled back every time. Yeah,
that's good.
Not me.
It's too bad that we couldn't get it any louder, because I had a couple friends playing 40k in the other hall that wanted to hear it, but they didn't hear it. Too bad. Yeah, it's too big. The hall was too large.
Did you mention like your dominant run in Swiss, Tyler, and how you just like breathed into the cut?
Yeah, right. So I was number 3 overall after the 4th round. So I had 4 pretty just crushing victories. My 4th round wasn't crushing. I played Andrew Bunn and won like 57-22 in one of those just protracted ace on ace games. He was flying Jedi.
So every game Andrew Blind plays against aces?
Correct. Well, especially when he's flying aces too. Well, and it was even that.
What else does he fly?
Paratani.
That has an ace?
That's not true. As a Fenrau. Let's be real here. Anyway. No, but it was one of those things where, like, I was in the lead, but if I had another 20 minute, I could have closed it out. It was just, I couldn't finish Rick, I couldn't finish Plo, I couldn't half point Obi. Like, the Rick and Plo were both on 1 hit point after regen, kind of a deal. So, but and then my round 5 was against Carson, who finished being the number 1 Empire player overall, and we had a super tight game. That's one of those. I felt like I played the game really well. And I had shots. They just didn't land when I needed them to. I think I blocked his Vader for like 3 consecutive turns and got 2 shots into him each turn, and it just didn't deal damage kind of in game. I cornered his Whisper, and Whisper got out with 1 hit point. So it was like, if either of those 2 things go a little bit better, then the game is easy. When they don't get those kills, then the game is really hard, because those ships are really good at killing TIE fighters and the like. But so that happened. So I lost that. Then I got the pair down in round 6 against Sam from the Pacific Northwest, and I forget Sam's last name. Do you know who I'm talking? Who it was, Blair?
I know Sam. I don't remember his last name.
Yeah, I can't remember his last name. Sam was super fun, and he was the pair up, so he was 3-2, and he was running like a Morallo Boba list. And I've played against Morallo before with like the Jabba the Hutt and Contraband Cybernetics at Gen Con, actually. So I've seen what it does. So I had an idea. And so we got the engage, and I got my TIE fighters just slammed into it. And so we're firing. And it was one of those things where he went Nova on his opening two shots and killed like two of my TIE fighters in Soontar. And I was like, oh crap, I'm no longer winning this. I need to score some points of MOB. So Vader did Vader things and got Boba to like 4 and Morallo to 5. And I'd burned through all the charges of all the nonsense. And I was ready to get Vader out. And Morallo would have had like 7 stress or something like that, right? So he's never taking an action again. I've gone through all the nonsense. And now I just need Vader to win the game. But I'm going to take 1 range 2 Morallo shot. And I was down shields. And he gets hit crit with his target lock. And I just 3 blank and Vader dies. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So... now I'm kind of frustrated, but I was like, I was still 4-2, and I was like way up there in the MOB before these last 2 games, so it should still be pretty fine. And then they post the rankings, and I'm 32nd by 5 MOB. So I fell like 29 places in 2 games.
But made it.
Oh, you know what? I had 4 extra MOB that I didn't need.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Yep.
And yeah, not even close. Not even close.
Is playing Morallo and X-Wing like playing against Wraith in Apex Legends?
No, because it's like playing against a Gibraltar that can just show up wherever it wants. Right? Like, because it's just beefy and it takes a while to kill and it doesn't have to
be the
move
new updated Gibraltar then.
Sure.
Still is another ability.
Yeah. And he even had Han Gunner on there. So when he would cybernetics, he would target lock and then take the red Han action anyway. Just like, I don't care. I have all the stress. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's what 5 cybernetics is for.
What's that?
That's what 5 cybernetics
is for. Yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly. 100%. Yeah. So like I literally burned all 5 cybernetics and both Morallo charges. Like that's where we were at, right? Like it's nonsense. So
I never actually seen it played. So. Huh? So I guess in like one of the first turns, or when he wants to get the engagement, the turn before Morales flying off that table edge.
Oh no, Morales flies off the table edge on turn one.
On turn one, okay. Does he then fly off again pretty soon to get the?
Well, it depends on where. So it's basically he flies off on turn one, and then he comes in on your side of the board, right? And then I engaged him there, and then when he needed to disengage, he flew off and came on the bottom of like my deployment side, effectively. Okay. But he's just more than happy to sit in that corner for the entire game if you let him.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And so all of your target locks, all of his stress, all that stays. So when he comes back on, he has all those things still. So it's not like he can wash his stress off or anything like that.
Yeah. So actually, funny story, though. We're talking that came up in the side event because Sam went down there with Morallo. He was playing someone with buzz droids. And he flew off the table buzz droids attached to him.
Yeah.
So actually, looking through the rules of how it's written, it's that the buzz droids are actually destroyed because it cannot be placed on the ship because it does not exist. The question is, does the buzz
droid take a damage? Yeah.
I'm for yes, but I have to read through the card because I think it says all ships are range 0. Technically, you're not in range 0 because there's no ship.
Interesting.
So it depends on how deep you want to go, but I believe as rules is written, I think Morallo gets everything, the buzz droids get nothing. Because a ship can't be placed, you do 1 damage to all ships at range 0, which is no one, because there's nothing on the table. There's nothing to measure. But I think it'd be pretty fair, and I think most people would agree, that the buzz droids would die because they flash the table with Morallo. The Morallo takes the damage, and that's that, done and done.
Yeah. I would be happy thematically that Morallo took the damage, but yeah, I could see where you could argue that.
Yeah,
he wouldn't.
I'm trying to think of like other instances that would happen. So the only thing that would matter is, let's say you have a ship that flies off the table while going through buzz droids that actually dies. So it doesn't matter if the damage goes through, but your buzz droid would follow that ship that's off the table.
Yeah. So if I had a 1-hit point TIE fighter or something like that, and I just wanted to get the buzz droids out of there, or 1-hit point something that can't barrel roll.
Yeah. It's a good way. This is a way of looking at it. So there's another way to clear buzz droids.
Woo!
Play your ship off the table with it.
You hear that, Boba Fett players? There's another way to clear buzz droids.
Yeah. Actually, funny thing too, I believe buzz droids can get cleared by the explosion by the autopilot drone.
Is that true?
Because bombs affect devices.
No, it's not devices, the remotes. And do bombs affect them? I know this.
I guess remotes, yes. That's the one thing to look into. Well, no, they're very weird with pilot abilities and air effect damage. So There's one. I know that a lot of things like devices and remotes are well, remotes and devices are now like in this weird category to game because they change how they the rules reference on it. And I believe that I do believe bombs now affect remotes, like the AOE explosion for a proton bomb.
They made a decision. I just don't know which way it is.
Yeah, and I don't have the rules reference on right now. That's something we'll probably go in the future and talk about hyperspace and stuff like that.
But other than that, I don't think the autopilot does because it explicitly says each ship at range 0-1 suffers a crit, which remotes are not ships.
And pilot abilities are weird when affecting remotes. I know that because the pilot abilities that do not – the pilot ability of a ship when an effective remote only works when it's during the attack. So if you have something that's attack a ship and says enemy ship, you can use that ability when attacking a remote. So like Wedge Antilles' ability works when attacking a remote.
Interesting because the outmaneuver doesn't because they don't have a firing arc.
I wonder if it doesn't because there's no firing arc to be out of arc with. But yes, but Wedge Antilles' ability. I remember looking at this because we playing a epic multiplayer game and the objectives are remotes. So there you go. We had to look into that. So I know pilot abilities are weird with that because remotes are neither friendly or enemy ships for most.
They should still be. No, they're friendly for sure because they.
You cannot. Like they are friendly, but you cannot use things that target friendly ships on them.
Gotcha. So right, because they're not ships, they're remotes. Right. I don't know. Yeah. Do what you want on the bottom tables. It's fine.
Yeah. But anyways, it goes on to like if it's things that target friendly ships or friendly things do not target remotes.
Yeah.
So you can't use bigs to protect a remote.
Sure.
If ever that comes up.
Weird. But yes. Cool.
So, but yeah, there's a lot of things, but as well as weird things that it would be more remotes coming out, especially with the First Order, I believe, getting one. It looks like in the future with the new spoiler ship of the shuttle. So we'll have to see. But anyways, do we have anything to really talk about LVO? We never really talked about BCP. Do we have a fresh one?
It crashed. It has done this in lots of major events. I really wish events would stop using it. Stop taking BCP's money to use it.
We'll have to see what it looks like in the future. I think a lot of this could be preventable. So what I heard that actually crashed it was not like necessarily X-Wing or the event itself, but supposedly there's the people that are not at the event were updating BCP trying to find the 40K pairings worldwide.
Sure.
There's probably tens of thousands of players trying to constantly refresh and try to find these pairings, and that overloaded the system and crashed.
Shocking. Also note that tens of thousands of requests is not a reasonable excuse for your stuff crashing when you're selling a service in the modern world that uses app.
No, I completely cloud-based
computing. Stop using a computer in your basement to run your stupid it's frustrating, but here we are. One of the cool things is talking to some of the FFG guys. They weren't aware that both Cryodex and Tabletop TO both export to XWS and can read from that. So you can actually run a tournament in parallel on both. And so if for some reason you lose connectivity to Tabletop TO, you can have a full Cryodex version of the tournament being ran right next to it.
Yeah, which probably and that's far to the future. Is what
FSA that was their worry before is that it wasn't that Tabletop TO didn't work well, and you have a mobile pairing system that everyone can look at their phone and find out where their table is and what they need to do. But it's that if you lose internet connection or any of that kind of stuff, you don't want your tournament to falter. Well, since you can just have the entire tournament saved out and just upload it in Cryodex and go the printer route, hey, here we are.
You know. Yeah, I'm happy to test that for some more events. We start running big things again as the prime championships or regional events have now gone back to once per year instead of the two per year thing. So that hopefully will increase the number of players going back into those events, less events competing with each other. So hopefully we'll see some plus 100 events back in the Northwest.
Yeah. And then, so down the line, congratulations to Zach Bart. I don't know if we've already said that before I got here.
But no, we haven't talked about the cut yet or anything.
Yeah, he won the whole thing. He did a really great job. He was flying Soontir, two Inquisitors, and Jenden. Turns out, hey, it's still a really good squad. And I think he benefited heavily from using a very like known, here's a strong meta squad. Like, this is just a good stuff, right?
Yeah, he had concussion missiles on those Inquisitors, right?
Yeah, well, no, it's the same. So that list like got second in Australia System Open or something, or not, maybe not a System Open, but a big event in Australia. And that was kind of the Morgan Reed changed Mark's list from Gen Con. Right. Yeah. So it was, instead of Sense Inquisitor, it was targeting computer crack shot fell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's super solid, especially with Palpatine still in the shuttles. So.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, right? Like, you have lots of force. You can see a number of Zach's games on stream. The final was a really good game. That ended in a 100-point kill draw where they had been shooting each other for literally all 2 hours. There was no, like, running. They just dove in and started smashing each other in the face. And it was on the last shot of the game. He kills the shuttle, which gives him the draw, and then Zach wins the 5v7 final salvo, which is like a 25% chance of happening.
Yeah, it was a very good percentage.
Yeah. So which is pretty funny. One of the interesting things is, if you actually watch the game on Gold Squad and you go back and watch it, you should note that the players don't know what the point totals are as they're playing, and they also didn't realize that there was that less of time, like there was that much time left. So having talked to Zach afterwards, because I remember them calling like 15 minutes, and when they called 15 minutes, I went and looked at the point totals, like on over like Dion's shoulder, basically, to go like, oh, okay, here's where they're at. And basically Zach was up 20 points, but you could tell in the way Zach was playing, he thought he needed to kill one more vulture. So he's kind of all-inning this last one hit point vulture. Because basically on the last turn, they're making decisions, and then it's suddenly like there's only 2 minutes left, and they've taken their actions, and so now they're on to shooting. And the shuttle had 3 hit points left, so all Zach actually needed to do was reinforce, and he just wins, right? The shuttle can't take 4 damage outside of weird crits from the vulture shot. Like, there's only one vulture that can shoot it. Or no, not even. No, it was just Seer. Like, it was just the belt blab could shoot it. So he just reinforces and he's fine. Right. So it's just one of those weird things where it's like, after playing 12 games of X-Wing over 2 days, right, everyone's exhausted, and then they've just got done with they're in a 2 hour game. It's like, oh, there's way comically easier answer to just win this game, but nope, we did it anyway.
Didn't matter.
Yeah.
I have to say something about the endurance, because it was a top 64 cut. So it was 6 rounds. Oh, and yeah, that was a 2 hour final. So that day went
100%. Speaking as someone who has done that before, your brain kind of turns into mush about like an hour into that final. Yeah. And you're just kind of running on autopilot. So.
Well, I also say it also depends on which list you're flying. And that list has aces you have to worry about. A lot of positioning and timings and things like that. So there's a lot going on for that entire endurance of the day.
So. Congratulations to Zach. He got a major tournament win, which always feels good. I'm super happy for him.
Also, congrats to also Paul. You made the
run. Oh yeah, Paul. Yeah, absolutely. So Paul had a great run, but Paul also had to play Chris Allen twice, like once in Swiss and then once in top 32, and then his top 16 was. And for those of you that don't listen to the crates or don't watch anything else and just listen to us for some weird reason, Chris and Andrew Lawrenson were running 8 TIEFOs, just kind of as a, hey, we're running this and y'all figure it out. I got 8 ships. They have 4 health, 3 agility. Like, we're just gonna be at 8-ship swarm and play like wholesome X-wing. And they both ended up doing really well.
That was not why.
Yeah,
it's because they're super nerds who did the math and found that this was the most efficient ship, and they wanted to prove everyone that they knew what the hell their math.
I don't believe you. They played counting to 200 with TIEFOs and went, wait, we can get 8 now. That seems degenerate.
Before the event started, I was talking to Lord, and he said he was doing over under of him, Chris, going. If they're going to go 3-3 or worse or above.
Yeah.
And both of them said under. So they both thought they were going to go 3-3 or worse.
Yeah.
And they both went, I think, 4-2 made the cut?
Yes. Yeah. And then they both made it to the top 32.
Yeah. I mean, nothing got there.
But there was another gentleman that I don't remember his name, was also just running 8 FOs, and he made it to the top 16. Well, Paul had to play him as well. And Paul was very prepared after playing Chris twice for playing this poor guy.
This poor guy.
And it was not a good game.
But also, that is a lot to think about when you have to go through. He went through a total of 24.
You're correct. Typos. Yes. The funny part was, like, after the first game, they were like, I think Chris took initiative, and they're like, I don't know if that's right. In the second game, Paul took initiative and beat Chris again, and he was like, well, I beat him, but I still don't know if that's right. Like, I'm not sure what the right answer is here still.
I just loved how everyone was coming up and talking so much trash to Chris that Paul was like, I feel like I'm the only one that's in your corner.
Yeah. For sure. So Paul did a great job too. So that was like the X-Wing side of LVO. So what did you guys like beside that was not X-Wing? Like, we just got to spend a weekend in Vegas and have lots of fun. So what was that all like?
Well, this is my fifth or sixth time to Las Vegas. I've been there for many times for different tournaments, stuff like that. I mentioned earlier, I was already at LVO. So for me, go to Las Vegas. The second part of why I actually wanted to do this trip was just eat food. There's a lot of good restaurants, and there's a lot of places I got to try again, and I really enjoyed that. So I think my best dinner, I went there like the last time 2 years ago. I went to Cut by Wolfgang Puck down in the Palazzo / Venetian. And for me, it's like one of the best steaks you can pretty much get, and I enjoyed my steak dinner. Nice. I was looking forward to that. Other than that, I kind of try, I guess, real, in quotation marks, Chicago-style deep-dish pizza. Because I've never had that. And that was really good. I really enjoyed
it. Yeah, Giordano's is awesome. That was also really awkward because I flew in from O'Hare, and it's 11 at night. And in our group chat, Chris Allen and his wife Mary were like, hey, we just landed. Is anybody else here? I was like, hey, guys, I'll ride with you to the Euro Hotel. And I know how to walk to mine from there, right? And so we land and we go walk into this hotel, and the first thing I see is a Giordano's. I'm like, what the hell, guys? Which is like a huge Chicago chain deep dish pizza place. Like, that's the deep dish pizza place in Chicago that's not like mom and pop places. Mm-hmm. And I'm in a different city that's supposed to be different, and it's the same thing I always see.
But I really enjoyed it. I think Blair and I also left there for some of their sandwiches. I enjoyed my sandwich.
So yeah, no, it's generally very good food. I'm a big fan.
Despite being probably more expensive than it is in Chicago because Vegas, but like we ordered a medium pizza. I think it was like 30, but we split it between three people, so it wasn't too bad.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and so for those of you that haven't eaten at a Giordano's before, like it's lasagna pizza, right? Like, it's a casserole. Like, it's an inch thick. And yeah, two, maybe three pieces are what you're going to eat out of it. This isn't like I order a medium pizza and eat it all by myself. Like, no. Or if you do, you're going to hate yourself for a week.
I ate the first two and it's like, oh, I really want another one. But at the same time, that's a mistake.
Every time. Yeah. It's the same time, like, but I really don't.
Yeah,
for sure. Blair, what about you?
Man's all right.
How can you say, it's all right? I met my favorite Blair I have ever met, which was drunk Blair walking down the Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay. Blair, who was the guy you played ping pong with? There was a random Las Vegasite while we were at an arcade bar. Blair and I played ping pong. He won. And then some random guy walked up and was like, hey, man, I want to play. So they went off and played ping pong.
I never got his name.
Never got perfect. Perfect. Even better.
He can live with the world's that guy we met in that random bar in the middle of nowhere wanting to play dominoes.
Yep. Oh, jeez, right. Jeez, wolf. Wolf. The St. Paul Invitational? Is that what you're talking about?
It was the one time I was with, the first time I went to Worlds, I went out to the bar
sketch bar at the very end, and there was the dude that was air humping stuff.
Yeah, he wanted to play.
Yeah, he told us his name was the St. Paul Invitational. For anybody that's actually listening, it's a very funny story. Come find me at an event. I'll tell it to you.
Yeah, he was making, I can't remember who, but like, he was following one of the UK guys, right?
Tom. Yeah, Tom Reed. Tom looked at me and was like, did I just get assaulted? And I was like, maybe, kind of, I think. Yeah.
I did
a bunch of cool stuff, and like, not even the normal cool Vegas stuff. Like, I feel like we just kind of wandered around, saw stuff, gambled, and like ate food. I know a bunch of the people that were there went and saw like a magic show and went to see a couple of other cool shows and whatnot. I just wasn't really my thing at the time. Like, I was kind of busy during most of those periods. I had some really good alcoholic ice cream, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
We went to Wahlburger, which is like Mark Wahlberg's restaurant, and I had bacon mac and cheese with chicken. That was very good. We went to an Italian joint because Blair really, really wanted to get some like actual grain pasta that isn't gluten free, and then he ended up eating gnocchi, which is potato, and I was confused, but he was happy, so it was fine.
Oh, gnocchi's the best.
Right, it is. It is.
But it's not pasta.
Right. It was just one of those, like, the reasons we went there was that. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. So that was fun.
Blair, when you come back to Vancouver and you want pasta, we can go to a place. I'll take you. You can.
All right.
And then you get a pen if you finish the plate, because the plates are nervous.
Oh, all right.
I went to, who's the angry British chef? Why am I blanking on this dude's name?
Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, we went to Ramsay's pub. It was in one of the hotels.
That's a pretty good pub. I know he has this Hell's Kitchen on the street. You have his steakhouse. You have his burger place. But I didn't know there was a pub there as well.
Yeah, so there's like and it's like a British pub. So it was like Grasser and Nick both had like a butter curry chicken, and I had fish and chips. It was good. It was good. Nick actually had this awesome like applewood smoked whiskey thing. So they actually like blow applewood smoke into like a decanter thing with the whiskey and let it like seep in and then pour it over the glass. It was pretty cool. I don't know if that actually helps or anything like that, but visually it was pretty awesome.
It looked fancy.
Yeah, very fancy. So then Sunday night, because I kind of said before, decided that I was not going to get a hotel. Nick and I were not going to find a hotel room. We were just going to go to the airport early and fly back. So we were meeting up with everybody, and so it was Nick and I, and then Chris, Alan, and Andrew Lawrence, and Andrew's wife, and why am I forgetting someone? Andrew Bunn. We had all the Andrews. And so there was this really cool candy store that was like between Hara's and Bally's, like down the alley, called Sugar. And upstairs, they had a bar called I Love Sugar. And they serve these giant ass martini glasses. So if anybody's seen on Facebook the like me so talking about completing the game. Yeah. That's where we're at, right?
Like I said, they were super sweet.
I was drinking like alcoholic Kool-Aid, 100%.
Yeah.
And this is also a point where I should describe the difference between the friend groups that I hang out with. So all of my nerd friends like to go out and like get drinks or whatnot, but we're generally pretty reserved and casual when we get drinks. Like everyone has a couple beers, you order a couple of drinks, no big deal. My volleyball friends, on the other hand, it's like a shit show if we go out drinking. Like it's a 10 drink nights plus shots, and we're all Uber home because no one's even remotely capable of driving, right? Like that's the normal. So we get there, and I'm looking at them, and like the bartender, who was also from Chicago, so like I got to like shoot the shit about Chicago with her. She'd been out in Vegas for like 5 years. She like pulls out this martini glass. I'm like, you need to go. It's on Fly Better and humorously the Destiny 5 Facebook group, because we thought it would be a fun idea to. Yeah, Chris thought it would be a hilarious idea to. So the running joke is that I killed Destiny by shotgunning a beer at Worlds to prove that they could have been having fun, but they chose not to. So
it's the Resistance sort of showing up on their podcast disturbing their games.
Yeah, correct. 100%. 100%. That's why we were going to get them Thunder shirts and have the Hyperloops logo on it. Yeah. So then, like, as soon as they released that Destiny was going to be ending and it's now a quote complete game, like, my face got splashed over everything, shot like the screen still of me shotgunning a beer for saying that I killed the game. And I leaned into it because, like, why not? Sure, I killed Destiny. It's fine. I'm in. So then they took a picture of me with this giant martini glass in my hand because I have very big hands and can hold it, but it's like an exceedingly large martini glass. Like it's basically a fishbowl. Like if you're drinking it.
Did it have like
pub.
Four straws sticking out of it?
We'll get to this, but like Bun, Chris Allen, and I shared this thing and drank it, right? Because it also has like a topper on it that they put like a bunch of Swedish fish and gummy sharks on, which were also super. Yeah, it was really good.
That's what you needed to convince Chris Allen to finally drink some alcohol and cram with a candy.
Hey, but he did. He had some alcoholic gummy bears with me, and he had a wonderful time. Nick and the Lawrences got a one that had gummy bears in it. I don't remember what like flavor it was. Ours was like a blue raspberry pineapple juice stuff, right? So like we're looking at the menu and I look up and the bartender's there and I was like, hey, I want to get this one. It's like a million fish in the sea or something like that. I was like, yeah, this one sounds good. And when I'm out drinking, if I'm drinking like fruity, like Kool-Aid style drinks, like blue raspberry. Blue flavoring is the flavor I go for. So if I find a blue drink, that's what I want. So it's like, I found the blue one. Hey, it's got Swedish Fish in it. That's even better. Like, I'm in. Give me the blue one. And she looks at me and she was like, oh yeah, these are like 9 to 14 shots a piece. And I was like, sounds good. I want this one. And everybody else at the bar looked at me and I was like, what's up, guys? And they're just like, are you going to share that with anybody? It's like, oh, yeah. Who wants to go in on this one with me? They're like, so that's how Andrew and Chris came to be sharing my fishbowl that I thought I was going to drink myself. But it's fine. It's no big deal.
So I thought actually that you and Bun both had a competition to see who could finish it.
We were taking strong drinks out of it, mainly because Andrew's wife got a little drunk and was throwing gummy bears at us and talking shit about how we were drinking it too slow. So all in all, a great night.
It was good.
Yeah. So then we went back and we played Coup for a while. Did I already tell this part?
Yeah, we went play Coup and then went to the...
Yeah. Okay. Which I will say it was, if you guys are familiar with Coup, for those of you who aren't familiar with Coup, it's a base card game where you have a personality and it's a lies and deception game. So the character cards you get allow you to take certain actions, but you can take other actions if no one calls you on it. Right.
Yeah, it's a very good game when you're drunk and with
absolutely
a bunch of people.
Right.
Because we played a lot of that with my friends here, and we just go, "I'm the Duke." No, I'm the Duke.
Correct. Everyone's the Duke every single
and
time.
The common way we play is you don't even bother looking at your card, so you have no idea who you actually are.
Yep.
No one knows because the dude actually call you on it.
Right. So the interesting side though was Chris, who had never played the game, is the first person I've ran into to really take the prisoner's dilemma of who's calling it. And he was like, no. So he was like, I was the Duke and then someone else was the Duke. Wade was the Duke. And then D's like, I'm the Duke. And he's like, there's no way he's the Duke. Like, I have two Dukes. Tyler's maybe a Duke. Wade's maybe a Duke. There's no way D's also a Duke. So we're just going to the four of us are going to rock, paper, scissors to see who has to call him because we're not letting this shit go.
Yeah.
So that became one of the standard metrics on how we were finishing this, which was pretty hilarious. Because there's a lot of times where it's the loss aversion, right? Like, everyone knows someone's lying, but no one wants to be the person that finds out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that was a lot of fun. And then we went and gambled some more. One of the nights, Grasser and I taught Nick how to play craps and taught Wade how to play craps. Well, Wade kind of watched, and then we had, a crazy good run where I made a decent amount of money, and so did Grasser. And then we went to, when we went to Ramsey's pub, we basically ate for free there, which is pretty cool. But I was like, this was a bad section for learning how to play craps because this is not how this works. This is so in the 0% of chance or 0% chance of happening. I want to say the guy rolled 25 times.
Hmm.
Just nonsense.
I should have followed you around. I would have learned something.
What's that? Oh,
I don't know how craps even works. I know you roll dice and there's numbers.
Yeah, the quick and dirty of it is, the main game is you roll dice. If you roll a 7 or 11, you win and you double your bet. If you roll a 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, or 10.
Hey there, Blair.
Blair, you're not muted.
Nope.
Casually cleaning up over.
Yeah, no big deal. So like I said, if you roll a 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, or 10, that becomes your point. And now the game is to roll that number before you roll a 7. If you roll a 7 while you have a point out there, then everybody loses everything and you start all over again. If you roll the number, then it goes back to trying to roll a 7 or 11 until you roll a point, then go out to the point. Now, mind you, there's a million other side bets that are going on and other things that are happening. So that's why it looks super confusing and complicated.
Hmm.
But yeah. So I enjoy it a lot. It's a lot of fun. It's especially fun because it's one of the few games where it's the whole table is competing together. So when someone's on a big run, everyone's cheering and happy because it's making everybody money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So had fun with that. It was just a blast to see everybody, I got to see a lot of West Coast people that I don't normally get to see because they can't make it all the way.
I was quite surprised to see how many East Coasters came out this way.
I mean, that's true. It's Vegas, right? It's easy to get to Vegas.
That's the whole point of having a Vegas tournament. So
heck yeah.
It's good to have it because flights there are cheap. Hotel is pretty cheap.
I mean, my flight was $200 and I booked it 5 days before I flew or something like that.
Oh, you're lucky. Mine was I think... I guess on the West Coast, we're getting screwed, or just coming from Canada.
Well, it's coming from Canada. Let's be real.
Yeah, I couldn't get any nonstop flights. I had to go through Seattle. It still cost me about $350 Canadian.
Well, I drove to Chicago so I could get a nonstop flight. Like, yeah. I can get nonstop from Peoria. That's really cheap, but they only fly Friday and Mondays, and I played on Friday, so that wasn't really an option. Yeah. But I think I was successfully talked into flying to Texas in 2 weeks. So I'm going to go fly to Texas and play in the system open down there. So
That's right. The system.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited for that.
That's actually a good segue. What is looking for hyperspace?
I'm not telling you.
Like, don't even tell me on here, but it's like hyperspace is coming. Yeah. New pilots available for.
They are. Yes, they are. So that's. I will be flying some interesting stuff with some new pilots that I think is good. And if you're there, come find Chris Allen and I, because we're going to be in costume and it's going to be fucking awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. It's actually going to be really dumb, but whatever. It's going to be great.
So, okay, on the other side, what do you think you expect people are going to be using? Of course, the 5X wings, people are going to go.
Yeah, so I expect a lot of generic spam. Right, so 5X wings, 8FOs, Vader and 6 Academies. Trying to think what else. I assume we're going to see stuff in Scum. Like, but we're going to see a butt ton of Boba Fett, because we should. Like, Boba Fett and two Fangs.
Yeah, I think Boba that's actually... Fangs or double Boba plus another Fire Spray. So you can actually fit now Boba plus two Jumpmasters.
Sure. The I-1 Jumpmaster might actually make a splash. He seems okay.
He seems reasonable because...
Yeah, he gets to shoot every turn, effectively.
Yeah, he gets to shoot every turn. You can still take him with a cannon, and he costs... Like, I was pointing one out, with him with Cybernetics and Auto Blaster, he's 2 points over a generic Initiative 1 Fang Fighter.
Yeah, and punishing one isn't that expensive for him?
No, and that means if someone does shoot him in the front arc, he's getting his
ability. So right, yeah, yeah. Like, you do that, and, like, Dengar crew seems pretty good. You know what I mean? There's just stuff to make him actually, like, pretty...
No, he's very reasonable.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be... FO has all kinds of good stuff. Like, I mean, you still have the Kylo double SF Scorch Cadet that's just good.
Yeah.
I assume people are going to be running the new FO Interceptors. Von Reg, Holo, Ember?
Ember, and then the Provocateurs.
Yeah, I don't know if the generics are that good, but like I think the named ones have a place. I haven't decided where they fit yet.
It's kind of weird to see where those. I think there's a lot of flying the Von Regs because it's not stress. You're using deplete and strain as your resource, and that does really change how the ship flies. Actually, like first looking, I thought it wasn't that much of a deal. It's like, oh, it's not stress. That's whatever. But it's actually. Very, very big because
yeah,
like flying that thing, you really have to think about that because like stress is easy. You're always gonna do blues. You know, it doesn't detriment you in the round, but those strain into plays really detriment you. Like,
yeah, they have the potential too for sure.
Yeah, there's a very different ship to fly, so I think it's gonna be. I think there would be people using it. I don't think it's gonna be in the top yet. I think it's a solid ship, but it's gonna take some time for people to get used to.
Where did I just get pinged?
So, sorry. Are Discord missiles in hyperspace for the scum? Or is that something specific? Okay. So I think despite having no...
No, that's...
The Sephiroth swarms are in there.
Absolutely. There's the generic Sith infiltrator that's actually a droid. It is like a perfect T-175 carrier. It's fine. Yep,
and there's still that the Sephiroth bomber... droid bomber also does that one. The one pilot that has the slot,
absolutely.
And then like, was it XY's list that he brought to the Australian system open is still completely viable. So
absolutely,
there's some solid things out there. I think the least showing, at least to start, will probably be the Republic. I think.
So I don't know because like, sure you don't have Delta 7, but like CLT is still good. So like,
I think CLT. CLT for me is I'd rather play against 7Bs than CLT with my like when I play an A-wings because you can actually hit 7Bs. CLTs are dangerous. I think their CLTs are solid.
I absolutely think four CLT Jedi is a very good list.
Yeah, and I think there's some things out there, but I just don't think are confident in it yet because they're so used to like the double 7B plus Rick, or...
So we've seen 4 CLT Jedi in team events already. And they've always done really well when you can basically control their matchups for them. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's like, oh, like, don't put them into a bunch of I6s. Hey, guess what? There aren't a bunch of I6s that they get put into. It's so like, hey, we're fine. Like, you literally, if you do all the named Jedi with CLT, you still have 8 points to play with.
That's like, pretty good.
Yeah, like, it's...
They only have one I5, or is it 2? Is it Plo and...
No, they've got Plo, and Plo, Obi, Ashoka, and Luminara.
Okay. So, no, they have limited pilots for...
Yeah. But that's just one of those, like, you have 4 super aces that are going to fly around generics really hard. And it's, like, with that CLT, it's not hard to get bullseye arcs.
No, it is. I've been looking into, if I wanted to run AC list, I'm actually thinking of running Kylo plus 2 initiative 4 silencers. And put that on the table for hyperspace. I might try that out.
Yeah, so
because you can fit Kylo 2 initiative 4 silencers, and I believe there's something so like 12 points or like 8 points.
Yeah, it's like you put optics on all of them, basically.
Yeah. I was looking at maybe Proud Tradition or no, just probably Fanatical over two generics.
No, Proud Tradition over Fanatical. It's pretty good.
It was one of the two. I was just worried that the I'll be stressed a lot with these silencers, double repositioning, so flipping it because I don't have the same effect as everyone having it and overpowering other people.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how effective. I need to put it actually on the table and try it.
Weirdly enough, you can just target lock, it's fine.
Yeah, I can also
like, I don't think people are gonna flip Proud Tradition that much. Like,
I think so. Like one of those things when people take that one ace that has it. But when
someone has it, I'm saying like as an opponent, I don't think I'm going to spend to flip it that often because it doesn't have that big of an effect. On the ships that are going to carry it because they have blue.
Yeah,
turns.
It depends also like what ships like I'm flying. Like if I'm flying like a swarm, I'm willing to sacrifice one of my ships to take a stress to turn it over if it does have that effect.
You have to drop one of your.
Spend focus, sir.
You have to spend one of your defense dice.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like that's you know
that's
what I mean.
Fine.
Like, hi, sure.
It depends on the ship and situation. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. You need to have the focus. You need to or take the crit.
Yep.
So, it is a resource. I have to see how much we're using. See what it is comes down to. But yeah, Proud Tradition is not a bad one. I was trying to think of what I do. I was even thinking of putting because I didn't want to have. I think at a point I had a 6-point bid.
Sure.
I think 7 or 8-point bid. I was like, what do I put on Kylo other than optics? I was even tempted to put just Brilliant Evasion on him for the sake of having some way of force saving if I do roll that 1-2 focus and 3 dice. I was like, especially Brilliant Evasion now is what, like 3? It's 3 points on Kylo or like 4 points on Kylo. It's not the ridiculous cost it was.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that rounds it up for this evening. You want to have anything else to bring up? We know that store championships are hopefully coming out soon. We'll have some information, and Prime championships will be announced within the next month or two, hopefully, and we'll see what comes in the future. It's pretty much actually a bit quiet right now. We know the card pack release is coming out this Friday, and then hopefully Von Riggs and the Fireball pretty soon, or I guess that will be legal for the system open, because that's not coming out this Friday, is it?
Yeah, it's supposed to be. I thought it was already out, but it's this Friday, because they have already been told that they're legal for this, for
the Texas. System opens? Okay.
Yeah.
So I know the card packs, but I haven't seen anything.
Yet.
So, it could be also different. I'm also in Canada. Anyways, I don't think there's more going on. Blair, you have anything to add?
No, other than it definitely seems like everything that was good still is good. And I think it's going to take some time for people to figure out any of the new good stuff. So I
think there was some new good stuff there. It's just it ran into stuff that we know is good and have a lot more practice with being good.
Yeah, there was some good stuff there.
You know what I mean? For like, and that's, I absolutely think that's a big, that was a big help to Zach, right? Because he's just like, hey, I know how this list works. This is a good list. I'm going to take it. Versus, hey, I'm going to, like, what, this wasn't what I was doing. But, like, for example, Blair, with what you were doing, is like, hey, I'm experimenting with the stuff. I think these are all good. I think all the moving parts are here. But you also haven't got 20 games with it, right? Like, yeah, you had zero games with it. You showed up to the tournament and were like, hey, this is what I'm flying.
Yeah. One thing I will notice, though, that I guess Farmer posted up, or someone posted up a straw, how many AC matchups we played against, I guess three ships or less. And, like, most people's average, I think, was, like, two. Five out of my six matchups were three ships or less.
Well, no, so it mattered on what day you played, because five out of my six were also against aces. But yeah, that's because we played on Friday. Right. Saturday had a ton of swarms, because there was the other poll too, was, it was like, how many swarms did you play against? And some people were like, all I played against was swarms. It's like, you played Saturday. Like,
yeah. There's a lot of, I played against also, I was more two ship builds than I thought there would be.
Yeah.
On the field.
Same.
Yeah. So there was quite a few Boba plus ships, Boba plus one. There's a couple of Boba plus two, and then of course there's David Kelly being the mad lad.
God.
So, but yeah, other than that, I was surprised to see there's actually some people were talking about some ships they'd never seen in a while. And I was like, they're trying to go down a list of ship chassis that weren't there. Of course, like the TIE Aggressor and a couple other things, like the Wookiee K-Wing. But like, someone brought down.
No, Wookiee was for sure there.
There was a Wookiee. Someone actually brought a Aztec. I didn't see.
I definitely saw two Wookiees in one Rebel squad. That was like not like in the salt mines. Like it was somewhere on Saturday. Yeah, it was in the middle. I'm trying to think about K-Wings. I feel like people were talking about bringing K-Wings. I just didn't see any.
But, well, I didn't see any K-Wings. I know there was a Dash or two. Someone brought the
YT-2400. Yeah. Dude, the YT-2400 is scary, especially the generics.
Like, the generics, they're down to, what, 80?
They're so cheap.
Yeah, having a 4-dice bow tie plus even 3-dice at range 1 is still solid.
Yeah.
It's only 3 to 4 dice. That thing just with focus. Because
you can get two of them and Jake in a list. Like,
yeah.
Here, let me punch you with these big guns. Oh.
Yeah, there's something there. No, they're pretty decent now, not being the 100 point monsters.
Yeah. Right.
Extravagant points at it. So you can actually put things beside it. Yeah, but like, there's people wondering, like, when I showed up day two, people asked, oh, is there any Jump Masters? Like, yeah, there's quite a few. Like, there's quite a few Dengars that people put on the table. The one person brought Manorer and all that. So I think it's nice to see that the Jump Master is back in some way or form. I think there's some, adding that can slot really opened up to a lot what he can do.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Yeah.
Because, them having a, 1.0 style Shadowcaster, like 180 degree arc, alleviates a lot of their problems. Because before, like, only their rotate was red, right?
The rotate is red and had to be linked from a focused target.
Yeah, but it's also like the fact that their blues are trash, and even their whites aren't very good. So it's like the ability to not have to just rotate all the time makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, it makes them, at least they can fight, which is good. And then it alleviates their crummy dial and all the other things. So I'm almost worried that the jump matches now with us, because he got also a points reduction while getting the cannon slot. There might be, well, I'm not worried that it'll be too good, but I was getting in there. Like, there's some scary things you can see, but like, you can spam quite a few of them now. Because you can almost fit five of them on the table.
Yeah, you can fit four with the proper upgrades, so.
Yeah. But I think that's it for Redemption today. I need to get started pretty soon. But
cool.
Any closing idea, thoughts there, Blair? Pretty good.
I think we're good. All
right. Well, thanks for joining us this evening.
Yeah.
And we'll hopefully talk to me more of these. Talk pretty soon. We'll probably next to me. We'll probably discuss it before Texas this book, and we'll see how many people think about the new release.
Yeah, and I was saying, if you're at Texas, come find me. So grab drinks or something like that.